Again, I want to wish a very happy Mother's Day to all the moms and grandmas and others in this congregation and on Zoom who have been a mother-like figure to those in your family, extended family. Parenting is, of course, certainly the toughest job in the world. It involves sacrifice and perseverance, living out the values you profess. We could say one thing on Sunday, but those who live with you 6.5 days a week see what really takes place. It's often funny when someone says, "Where did my child learn that?" Exhaustion is a common malady with parenting. For example, there's a TikTok video that's going around. One mom is telling the others how tired she is all the time. And if you've been a parent of young kids, you could say amen to that. How tired this woman is. She said, "I wanted to explain to my kids how tired I am. So my kids wanted to know what it's like to be a parent. So I woke them all up at 2 a.m. just to tell them that my sock had fallen off my foot." Another mom wrote, cute thing here, "Parenting," she said, "is 70% me yelling at the kids to get ready, to clean up, to do their homework, to behave, whatever it is. Another 20% of parenting is the kids yelling back at me about what they're doing, what the other kid is doing, what I need to be doing. And the final 10% of parenting is trying to find where I set down my coffee cup." Well, I know that my late mother taught me lessons that still ring in my ears. You can hear the voices that said, "Do this, don't do that, don't ever do that," that carry on with you for years and years. And I'm grateful, so grateful, for your moms who taught you right from wrong and taught you the worship of Almighty God. Well, I don't think we can overestimate the influence that a parent has on the way that a child views others in our world. The question is, do we view others as persons who we're going to scheme around and try to get things from? We're taught that others are a danger to us. Others are people to be manipulated, people to be taken advantage of. Or are we taught that others are those for whom we should care, we should look out for, we should consider how we can assist, how we can do for them? Our lesson from Acts chapter 9 is all about the latter. An example of tenderness and compassion, sacrifice, similar to the prophet's description of the coming Messiah that Jim read for us in Isaiah chapter 53. The person at the center of this story today is a woman named Tabitha. Now, Tabitha is her name in Aramaic. Her name in Greek is Dorcas, but they both mean gazelle. I like Tabitha better. Dorcas sounds a little tough in our language, but Tabitha, you can imagine gazelle with the word Tabitha. We don't know a lot about Tabitha today, but we do know that this woman was tremendously inspired. This is what the scripture says about Tabitha at that time and for all eternity. This is how Tabitha is remembered. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. That's Tabitha. Tabitha was always doing good and helping the poor. What a beautiful way to be spoken of by your contemporaries. Who's Tabitha? She was always doing good works and helping the poor. That's who she was. How would we be spoken of by our contemporaries today? Would those who know me best say, "Yeah, I knew Reg. He was the guy who was always complaining about his cable TV bill. Every month it went up because he reported to us that it went up every month." How would our contemporaries describe us? How would your family members, loved ones, those who know you best describe you? Tabitha was devoted to good works and acts of charity, those who knew her said. I don't know many people who would be described as always doing good and caring for the poor among them. But that's who Tabitha was as a Christian. A Christian woman in the early Christian church, immediately following the death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven of Jesus Christ our Lord. Tabitha was so beloved by her friends and acquaintances that when she fell ill and then sadly died, they still called the greatest healer living at that time, and that was the Apostle Peter. This is after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Peter is the one whom Jesus said, "Upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church." Peter was called by the disciples in Joppa to come and see what he could do for their deceased friend, Tabitha. Now, the book of Acts tells us that Peter was roughly 10 miles away when they called. He was in a nearby town. He was healing. While he was there, he was healing a disciple named Aeneas. Tabitha lived over in Joppa, though, about 10 miles away, as I said. Joppa was a city near what is modern-day Tel Aviv, Israel. It would be suburban Tel Aviv today, right on the Mediterranean. Now, Joppa is mentioned. It's an ancient city. It was actually mentioned in Egyptian historical documents 15 centuries before Christ. The city of Joppa is mentioned. The city of Joppa is also known because it's the city from which Jonah departed on his trip to Nineveh. Now, by the time Peter arrived in Joppa, Tabitha had been dead for some time. In fact, the Bible says her dearest friends, her fellow widows, had taken Tabitha's dead body and prepared it in the ceremonial way that was tradition at that time for a proper burial. Now, the room where Tabitha lay was filled with widows who were mourning the loss of their dear friend. You are certainly aware that widows and orphans at that time were the neediest members of that society. They were utterly dependent. Widows and orphans were utterly dependent on the compassion and the goodwill of friends and family. There was no obligation that society give them something, the widows and orphans of that day. They just had to scrape out an existence. There's no obligation that family members, many of whom were not a part of the church, would care for them. So if they had no income from their late husband, which they would not have, no social security check, no residual income coming in, these widows, oftentimes very young, had to scrape out an existence, utterly dependent. And without any gifts of food or clothing, many of the widows, history tells us, would be forced in that society to turn to begging, or in the worst cases, they would turn to prostitution for food and clothing. And that room is filled with tears and downcast faces. And yet in that scene, the next thing the scripture says almost sounds like a shopping scene from a Hollywood movie. Tabitha was cared for so deeply by these fellow widows because they made by hand clothing for each of them. The Bible says this: the widows, when Peter entered the room, the widows were showing Peter the tunics and other clothing Tabitha had made while she was with them. It's almost as if you could picture this scene. There's crying, weeping going on. Peter walks into the room, and the widows suddenly perk up and they say, "Peter, we just want you to know what a beautiful woman Tabitha was. Look at this blouse I'm wearing. Look at the cloak I'm wearing. Look at the blouse, the shawl, the tunic, the robe. Look at all these items we're all wearing. These are because Tabitha made them by hand, so we would have clothing on our backs." That's how beautiful this person was to all of us. What a gift to us Tabitha was. There are members of our congregation who do wonderful things for others. You don't have to sew things by hand or build things by hand. But there are many, many ways that people in our congregation serve one another. I was not aware that Chris Frucci Becker, the only child of Bob and Suzanne, was going to be here today. I was going to mention this anyway, but Here's an example of Suzanne Frucci's handiwork. Maybe some of you have copies of something like this, hand crocheted items. She gave me about a dozen of these 10 years ago. They're lap throws, and they're very well made, well constructed, and of course free. And she said, when you're out visiting members of the church, or even others at area nursing homes, she knows sometimes the elderly folks there get chilly and offer them a lap throw. I've got about 3 left. I've offered 9, and they've been lovingly received. And she said, when you offer them, don't say my name, don't, you know, no big parade or anything. But let them know that someone in the church just loves them, and the church wants to know that they're being thought of and prayed for. And so these were handed out, and people receive them as such a blessing. Those handmade items. How many of you have a crochet from grandma, a quilt, or some other item in your home that you look back and you say, what love was poured into that? That's what these widows are doing in this upper room, trying to help Peter understand what this woman meant to them for giving them clothes on their back to wear that they possibly could never afford unless they were to engage in some very poor behavior. There are others in the congregation. I know the Keenans built a beautiful table that was given to a family in need. That table is still serving that family as a means of gathering them together. It's sturdy. It's going to last generations. A gift given. There are others in the congregation who drive friends, family, loved ones, church members, neighbors, to doctor appointments, to chemotherapy, to radiation, to the pharmacy, to the Giant Eagle grocery store, to the hair salon, wherever they need to go, so that life can be lived. You're making that opportunity available to them. Beautiful, beautiful things are being done as you take time out of your day to assist others. That's what these women were saying to Peter. Peter, look what Tabitha has done to make my life better. What a blessing Tabitha is to us, they said. For she cared, she loved, she sacrificed for me. The Bible doesn't say if Tabitha were or were not a mother, but she certainly had a very motherly attitude toward the fellow widows. And there is some suggestion in the Bible that she likewise was a widow at this time, but possibly a widow of some means or had wonderful family support. So Peter was in that room, but eventually cleared the room. He cleared the room and called out to Tabitha. He called out to Tabitha just in the same way that he'd witnessed Jesus himself call out to Jairus' daughter. If you read in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter from the dead, Peter used the very same words to call out Tabitha from death to life. And as a result of her healing, she was brought back to life. Many people in Joppa believed in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, I think there's a challenge as we read through this story and begin to understand this story and put this story in our hearts and minds. And the challenge for us, I believe, is this. There are many persons for whom we have prayed, persons whom we pray for today or in years past, who have not been healed. We have prayed for people, yet they were not healed. Well, I believe that God does heal today, whether by medicine or miracle. I also believe that there are times when God does not heal. I cannot begin to understand why, and God does not call upon me to understand why. But God calls upon each of us to be faithful regardless. The Bible says many in Joppa did come to know Christ as a result of the healing of Tabitha. And it makes perfect sense. I mean, they saw this woman who was active in the community. Everyone knew Tabitha. And she was dead. She was reported to be dead. People walked through the room and probably paid their last respects before Peter arrived. And then suddenly, a day later, she's out walking among them, and handing out more handmade goods to others. That certainly would make me believe in the power of Jesus and life over death. But you see, many others already knew Christ before Tabitha was brought back to life. They knew Christ because of Tabitha's life, because of her generous handiwork, because of her time spent caring for others. They saw Christ in her before she was raised back to life. They saw Christ in her each day and believed on that basis. There's another woman who died not long ago who displayed the compassion of Tabitha in our day and age. Her name is Dr. Martha Myers, and perhaps you've heard of her story. Dr. Martha Myers served for 25 years as an OBGYN, a medical missionary, at the Jibla Baptist Hospital in Yemen. Yemen is on the kind of southwestern corner of Arabian Peninsula, and Yemen is a, of course, Muslim nation. Dr. Martha Myers is a faithful Baptist, was. She served there from 1977 to 2002 until the tragic end of her life. Her goal in going to Yemen was to serve those many women in Yemen and in the Arabian Peninsula who did not have access to an OBGYN and who were prohibited from seeing a male doctor for their female issues because of their religion. Dr. Martha Myers even made house calls to remote villages to help care for the poor. One day, however, a patient of Dr. Myers told her husband that she had never felt so much compassion and sympathy and care as she had from that visit to Dr. Martha Myers as she was carrying her first child. All the worries and concerns that she had melted away because of Dr. Martha Myers' care for her. Well, the husband, hearing this story, assumed that Dr. Myers was attempting to convert his wife to the Christian faith. In his misguided rage, he went to the hospital and broke through security and gunned down Dr. Martha Myers and two other colleagues because he believed they were trying to convert others to the Christian faith. Now in 2001, just a year before the fatal end of her life, she had been back in her home state of Alabama visiting with others. Now she'd been kidnapped in the past, she had her life threatened in the past, and others in the medical community and her family had said, "Martha, do not go back to that place. Do not come. You get a job for you here, your comfort of living here among family and friends. A hospital will beg for your services here." She said, "No, that's where I need to go." And before she left, she accumulated 15 truckloads worth of needed medical supplies to service those in Yemen who did not have the medical supplies, of course, that we have in abundance here in this great land. Well, the body of Dr. Martha Myers was not brought back to her home state of Alabama because of discussions she had, in fact, in 2001, that year before, when she had politely said to her family, "No, and if anything happens to me," she made it very clear she wants to be buried there where she served, and she was. Dr. Martha Myers was buried on the grounds of the hospital where her compassion was legendary. And even though the mourners did not share her faith in Christ, the reports of the day say that 40,000 Muslim people of Yemen clogged the streets to mourn the death of the Christian woman named Dr. Martha Myers. A hospital administrator said of Martha, "Martha was not living for herself. She was living to serve others." Of Tabitha in Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. What will be said of us? Well, each day we have the opportunity to help write that script as we make the choice to care, to love, and to serve.